May the Lord join in helping us to worship him this evening, commencing with hymn number 118, 118. Thou dear Redeemer, dying Lamb, we love to hear of thee. No music's like thy charming name, nor half so sweet can be. Hymn 118.
Sacred and holy word of God. We shall read together from the book of the Exodus, and we shall read chapter 18. That is the book of the Exodus, reading chapter number 18. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they doubt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto even. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, that I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons, the hard cause they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. May God bless his holy word to us, and may he teach us and help us in prayer. Most gracious Lord, thou who hast made thyself approachable in and through the merits, mercy and name of thy dearly beloved Son, even Jesus, he who is at thy right hand, verily God, verily man, the one in whom thou dost dwell, as we are told, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is thine only begotten Son, and from him and from thyself, most gracious God, proceeds the eternal Spirit, the divine teacher, instructor, comforter, corrector, consoler of the Church of Christ. O most gracious God, send through thy dearly beloved Son this evening hour by thy Holy Spirit, that spirit of worship, that we may truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. For the Saviour tells us, the Father seeketh such to worship him. O blessed and eternal God, help us to be among those sought out ones. Lord, we read of them in thy word elsewhere, thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Oh, what a privilege, not to be abandoned, not to be left, but to be sought out. Oh, to be a great mercy, Lord, if through the means of grace tonight there was some seeking out done, some searching out of thy sheep, and bringing them into the fold of a precious Christ. Lord, we come as sinners before thee, and we do pray that we may be conscious rightly of our sinnership. We know it because thy word declares it. We know it because others see it in us. We know it because in measure we feel it ourselves. But Lord, are we truly convinced by thy Holy Spirit of our sin? And has that conviction brought us to the foot of the cross in repentance, in brokenheartedness and contrition? Oh, what a rare, rare gift repentance is. We feel it, Lord. We mourn over our lack of it so often. Oh, Lord, do break these stony hearts, we pray. Make them yield, make them feel, make them sensitive to thy word and to thyself. For, Lord, sin is a hardening principle. And, oh, we desire to be delivered from that. Oh, we want to feel, we want to know, we want to love. Oh, Lord, we want to be in the Spirit by thy gracious aid. Do wash away all that thou seest wrong in us. We see much wrong in ourselves, Lord, but thou seest the full tale of it. And we pray that what thou dost see, do thou cleanse in that precious blood of thy dear Son, that fountain open for sin and uncleanness, that blessed fountain, Lord, that not only justifies the sinner, puts him on the right side of that law that condemned him, but also, as it's felt in the conscience and the heart, sanctifies, subdues. Oh, to know more of that gracious double blessing, the fruits of justification and sanctification in our heart. May you receive with the Lord's hand this night double for all our sins. We do pray thou wilt bless to us the holy and inerrant, infallible word of God we've been reading. Do shed thy divine light on the sacred page tonight. Open our understanding as thou didst, Lord Jesus, in that upper room on that day of thy resurrection. Then opened he their understanding, they might understand the scriptures. Lord, we need that key to put into our hearts, the key of understanding. Oh, blessed Jesus, withhold it not from us. May we see light in thy light. Oh, that we might know, oh Lord, what it is to view matters as thou dost view them. We have a carnal mind which has its own view of matters. We want to be delivered from that. We would see light in thy light, and we pray it may be so. Do bless the praises we sing, Lord, we open with a sweet hymn tonight, a Christ exalting hymn. We are exhorted to enter thy gates with praise, and thy dear people have this morning, this evening. And what a mercy it would be if what we sung will be fulfilled, that one day we may see thee face to face, and not with the stammering tongue, but with the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, cast our crown at thy dear feet, and crown thee Lord of all. Do in thy tender mercy bless the cause of God and of truth at Swavesey. Lord, we are thankful for this opportunity of in thy help ministering this night to this congregation. Remember the deacons, the members, the congregation, the young people, and the elderly ones too. May they as a people be united in thy fear. May the love of Christ be shed abroad in their hearts. And may they know many brands plucked from the burning, many sinners called by grace, many other sheep gathered in. And may the work of grace deepen, Lord, in the hearts of those in whom thy Spirit dwells. May they be abiding together in the bundle of life. May they be a united, loving, exercised people, looking unto Jesus and of all beside. And dear Lord, we do pray thou would attend to any particular, peculiar want that any may have before thee this evening. For Lord, thou knowest that thy people pass through various trials, tribulations, difficulties, and Lord, thou art ordained that there might bring forth good in their heart as sanctified by thy Spirit. We especially pray for thy dear servant who would have been labouring to this people tonight had he the strength so to do. We lovingly, affectionately bear him before thee. Lord, thou knowest his down sitting and his uprising, art acquainted with his thought afar off. We pray thou be very near to him in this time of renewed trial and tribulation, and may he know the strength of that word, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Bless him indeed. Make him a blessing to his people yet, that he may see more fruit even yet to his labours among them and elsewhere. Bless all thy dear labouring servants and the gathering to thy dear people this night, up and down our beloved land and abroad. Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Lord, we cannot meet in thy courts tonight, and that's a grief to us. And Lord, there's a judgment in that. We must remember that the door is closed, and thou hast closed it for a season, that we might value the privilege more and be more heart-searching as to how we spent our hours within its precincts. Oh, Lord, were we always spiritually minded? Did we always go with a hunger and a thirst? Did we always go waiting to hear what God the Lord will speak? Lord, how often we have found carnality and worldly mindedness has distracted us within thy courts. Oh, but Lord, may we be restored to them again yet. And being restored to them again, may we be able to value them more, and pray thou art yet make the gathering of thy people a blessing. For thou dost love the tents of Jacob well, but still in Zion thou dost love to dwell. Now bless those, Lord, who are burdened over the souls and the path of loved ones. May their prayers be heard, and may, O Lord, their exercises be fulfilled. Do bless those, Lord, who are in tribulation's path, affliction, bereavement, sorrow, temptation, trial. Oh, attend to their wants, Lord, even make the word this night suitable and sufficient, we pray, to those who are walking in those paths wherein they cannot yet see this end, and perhaps cannot even tonight see the next step. Oh, Lord, well, we do pray that thou wilt be with such. Lord, that Moses called his son Eliezer, meaning the God of his father had helped him. O God of our fathers, be the God of their succeeding race. Help the helpless. Oh, pick up, Lord, the worms who feel so inadequate, so inefficient, so insufficient. And those, Lord, who are walking with crooked things in their path that they cannot make straight. Matters that perplex and tease and sometimes bring them to wit's end corner. Or that this night they might find a little relief in believing that the Lord Jesus himself said, look unto me, and be ye saved, or the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. We pray for our beloved land, and as this virus sweeps across our nation, Lord, we would humble ourselves under thy mighty hand and confess thou art wise and just in all thou art doing. Could it please you to preserve and protect from this devastating effect, if it could please thee. Whate'er thy sacred will ordains, give us strength to bear. Give wisdom in high places. Lord, there seems such confusion in our government over how to handle matters. True, it is a situation unparalleled, and we have sympathy for them. But, oh Lord, if only they would look up for their wisdom and look up for their guidance and look up for their deliverance, then surely, Lord, it would be handled more wisely and we could expect a good outcome. Lord, who can tell? Is there a Daniel, a Nehemiah, an Obadiah, Lord, in high court places at this time, whose voice must be heard in the councils of state? May it be so. And Lord, we do pray thou wilt bless then our royal family and leaders with wisdom at such a time as this. We thank thee for thy many mercies. Truly thou art good to Israel, Lord. The word of God says it. And thy servant David prayed, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. O Lord, there are many troubles and tribulations that thy dear people endure, but that redeeming grace and redeeming love of our God is able to bring them up, bring them out, set them upon a rock, even that rock, Christ Jesus. Now we thank thee for thy mercies, Lord. Oh, do help us as we turn to thy holy word. It's true, without thee we can do nothing. But Lord, we would not that nothing be done. Oh, we need thy blessed spirit. We would like the blessing that Nehemiah had when we read the Lord answered his request according to the good hand of his God upon him. Put thine hand upon the preacher and upon the hearers this night, and do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Now pardon our sins. Lord, if our prayers' success depended on our prayers in and of themselves, then we would have no hope. But we have that great Melchizedek, that great high priest at thy right hand, placed there by thee, even thy dear Son in our nature. And we would plead his merits and his name and his mercy this night, and pray that he will indeed hear our cry, for ones that I can no denial take, while I plead for Jesus' sake. So do help us now. We've nowhere else to look. We've an empty vessel, Lord, waiting to be filled with oil, the oil of thy grace. Come, we pray. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us further sing hymn number 144. 144. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Hymn 144.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention. I'll direct your thoughts this evening to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, and the last clause in verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and the latter part of verse 17. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. The whole verse reads, ye shall not respect persons in judgment. They shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man. For the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. God's servant Moses here is the mouthpiece of God himself. God, through this man's lips, that left a most blessed word that has been the encouragement of the Church of Christ ever since that Moses was led to record it. For though he said the causes that were too hard were to be brought unto him, here he is a type of Christ himself. And in the New Testament day, it is to Christ we bring these hard causes. And the promise stands good. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And we are encouraged to believe this right interpretation of it, because elsewhere in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord prophesied through Moses concerning the coming Saviour, that he would raise up a prophet like unto himself from among his brethren. And that prophet, and that priest, and that king is the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And he, through his holy word this evening hour, tells us this word stands good still. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And it means, dear friends, three things. First of all, just a notice in the word that there will be causes too hard for us. The word of God says it. We must not be surprised at it. We must almost expect it, because the word of God has it on the sacred page, and God cannot lie. Even Moses would not have said this had he not known there would be those causes, that the man who was over 10, and the one who was over 50, the one who was over 100, one over 1,000 would not know what to do. It would go from one court, as it were, to another, and all would be baffled and not know what to do till they brought it to Moses, and he would take it to God and give them the answer. Friends, you must not be surprised if in your path this evening hour there are those causes that are too hard for you. We may come back to that in a moment. The second thing we notice is what we are to do with these hard causes, and that is, as God helps us, bring it unto me. However heavy it is, however awkward it is, however long-standing it is, however painful it is, however humiliating it is, however small, however great, God says, bring it unto me. And the third thing we have before us this evening is a most blessed promise. I will hear it. God will give a hearing. You know, when there is a cause to be heard in the court, then the time comes when there's a hearing. Until there's a hearing, then the case is not dealt with. Here God promises his people a hearing. Not like the unjust judge who for so long would not give a hearing to that poor widow woman. But friends, here God says he will give a hearing to his dear people. He says, the cause is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. For a moment, just remember the background to our text and how it was that Moses was inspired to write this. They had been brought out of Egypt. and had now been some months in the wilderness. They were near Mount Sinai. They could look back, yes, and they could remember the long years of labor, slavery, bondage, under the lash in the days of the Egyptians. And they could remember how the Lord very graciously brought them out in the night of the Passover. All the other plagues did not move Pharaoh's heart. But when that sprinkled blood was on the doorposts and the lintels, that was the night that the Lord put forth his redeeming hand and brought his people out. And it's very remarkable that when he brought them out, that he brought them out with a high hand, and they spoiled the Egyptians. They didn't steal, they spoiled them. And that meant, dear friend, that they were receiving the payment, really, for all that they had done as slaves to Egypt. It was God's way of rewarding his people for what they had done under the hand of the oppressor. Later on, God was to do something else. He was to bring Pharaoh to a watery grave, the very man who had caused the babes, the male babes, to be drowned in the water of the Nile. Friends, God always has the last word, and whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, now they had come through the Red Sea, and they were in the wilderness, and already God had shown some great favours toward them at Marah and with Amalek. But now Jethro, his father-in-law, comes out to see him, bringing his two sons and his wife. Gershom, which means a stranger in a strange land, typical of what God's people feel on this earth. This is not our home. This is not our rest. No, pilgrims we are to Canaan bound. Our journey lies along this road, this wilderness we travel round to reach the city of our God. Not a stranger to grace, we trust. We once were like that. Now, no, therefore, no more strangers and foreigners in that sense, but a stranger to this world, to its principles, to its company, to its pursuit. Though we're in it, we are not to be of it. And then Eliezer, the second son, God is my help. What a precious name he gave to his second son. And that Moses could remember that, how God had helped him. He felt a lack of eloquence. He was full of fear when the Lord laid the burden on him. But he could sing as we could sometimes sing, thus far my God has led me on and made his truth and mercy known. Moses had a thus far. And child of God, you've got a thus far. You say, but I've got a hard cause before me. I've got a stumbling block, the great stone in the way. Yes, but thus far my God has led me on and made his truth and mercy known. And friend, he's not finished making his truth and mercy known. Still, he'll deal with these hard causes as they come one by one and roll the stones out of the way in his own time and his own way, making the crooked straight and the rough plain. So there is Moses. And Moses being the leader, he was looked up to rightly by the people, and they came to him for advice, for a counsel, for judgment in various cases. And he did it all on his own. And there were a large number of people, 600,000 men, besides women and children. So you can imagine the way Moses' day was taken up, dealing with an innumerable cases that were coming before him. And his father-in-law Jethro saw what was happening. And Jethro gave some gracious advice. And the gracious advice was that, Moses, you can't continue in this intensive way. God does not intend you to. There are those who, under the same help that you've been given, can be a help to you, but in a greater or lesser way. And he gave some very gracious counsel. And it's a wonderful thing, dear friend, when God gives counsel. One of the names given by God to his dear son is Counselor, Wonderful Counselor. Oh, the counsel he gives, it's ever true, it's ever right, it never errs, it's always seasonable. You may need some counsel tonight in your path. Friend, bring that unto him and he will know, he will tell you what must be done with those hard causes and hard cases that are in your path at this moment. And the second thing we notice is that Moses received the counsel. He didn't rise up in pride and say, Jethro, it's none of your business. But friends, he was willing to be given counsel. Friends, we should always be willing to learn whatever our position. Apollos was a mighty preacher, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, there was something lacking in his ministry. They took him aside. They didn't tell others about it, but they took him aside and they showed him the way of God more perfectly. And he received it. He received it. And that's grace. And then again, we have David with Abigail. David was set on murdering Nabal and all his males because of his rude treatment. But Abigail, Nabal's wife, comes out with blessed advice, gracious counsel. Put your sword away, David. God will appear for you. He knows what Nabal is. I know what Nabal is, she could say. I know he's a churlish man, but an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth won't do in this matter. The sword of vengeance, David, you're not skilled enough to wield it. Lay it aside. Let God deal with the matter. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. And David received her advice. He said, blessed be ye for your advice. And he humbled himself under it. And it was good advice as well. And the Lord appeared. Friends, I do not know why I say this tonight, but do be ready to receive the counsel that God gives. Oh, you know, there were those who went to Jeremiah saying, is there any word from the Lord? And then when he didn't give the word that they wanted, they didn't obey it. Friends, don't be like that. Don't be double-minded. Don't handle the word of God deceitfully. Or may you be like Barzillai, I believe it was, or was it another godly man in David's time? Thy servants are ready to do whatsoever the Lord, my God, my Lord, the Lord, a king shall command. Whatsoever. Friends, when God gives counsel, may we be obedient to it. And the third thing was that Moses set up these officers. And the word of God is very clear that in the church of God, there are various offices that are to be attended to for the unity of the church and for the stability of it and for the handling of matters wisely. And in no way did this undermine the authority God had given to Moses. Rather, it was a strength to him. And the dear man saw it. And they were to look out men who were able, God-fearing, honest, and not covetous. These were men to be sought out, able men. Men who had ability that God had given them. But friends, it was not used in a wrong way, but used as grace enabled them. They were to be God-fearing men. Fear him, ye saints, and you will have nothing else to fear. Make but his service your delight. Your want shall be his care. They were to be honest, trustworthy men, and they were not to be covetous. They were not to be seeking, as it were, to judge according to what they might receive for their judgment. It was the Lord's judgment, and they were to do as the Lord bid them. And they were to find out these men and to appoint them over tens and over fifties and over hundreds, over thousands. But when all was said and done, when they'd gone through all those cases, and perhaps, yes, Moses gave the laws and the statutes to them so they would know what was the right thing to do, yet there were some cases that were so obscure, so perplexing, so unusual, so different, that there was nowhere else to go but to Moses in a natural sense. And Moses, we are told, said he would be for the people God-ward. What a wonderful type of Christ he was. For the people God-ward. Our friends, we need that. He's an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our great high priest, said Paul, speaking of the wonders of his priesthood. Job speaks of the daysman who put his hand on both of us. Oh, friends, we need one to speak on our behalf. I like those words at the end of the Proverbs. We don't often read the book of the Proverbs, do we? But we read these words, open thy mouth for the dumb and all those that are appointed to destruction. That's what Jesus does. Sometimes his people are struck dumb with these hard causes. They can't pray. They can't understand. They can only sigh and groan and perhaps weep inwardly, if not outwardly. They are struck dumb. Open thy mouth for the dumb and all such are appointed to destruction. Ah, blessed be God, our great high priest, much more than Moses, is able to do that. Yes, he was for the people Godward, and Moses was to impart God's will to the people. A type of Christ there, because Christ's name is the Word. And he is the express mind of the Father as well as the express image. If we want to know the Father's mind, you'll find it in him who is the Word. And Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. He'd received counsel from this wonderful counselor in his pathway. And he found that counsel to be wise. And sometimes he had to learn like a little child, it all over again. He wanted to go to Bithynia on one occasion. The Spirit suffered him not. The counsel there was, no, Paul, this is not a door for you. And then he wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Ghost forbade him. Oh, this is a strange path for poor Paul to walk in. All the while, friends, he was receiving counsel and he had to wait to see what the Lord would do. Friend, has the Lord shut every door around you at the moment? Then wait for him to open the one that he will have you go through. Put it in spiritual language. I feel forsaken and alone. I hear the lion roar. And every door is shut but one. And that is mercy's door. Oh, poor sinner, that's not shut. Every other door may be, but that door is not shut. Oh, when you bring your hard case, bring your hard cause, then that's the plea for mercy's sake. The cause is too hard for you. Bring it unto me, and I will hear it. So these three things then. First of all, what are these hard causes? And how do we bring them? And what will the Lord do when he hears? Well, first of all, the cause is too hard. Yes, too hard, first of all, for us to resolve. It may be for you tonight, too hard for you to bear. It may be for you tonight, too hard for you to live with. It may be too hard for you to, as it were, believe, because it is such an unusual case, such a strange case. It's too hard for you. Too hard for you, yes, but not too hard for the Lord. Or is there anything too hard for the Lord? We read elsewhere. Thou Lord said it in Jeremiah chapter 32. Is there anything too hard for me? I'm the God of all flesh. And remember that in Jeremiah's case, he had the most peculiar command, counsel from the Lord. He was to buy a piece of land that was just about to be taken by the Chaldeans, a piece of land in Anathoth. Whatever good would it do him? What was his nephew doing in asking him to buy it? Well, we leave that to one side, but he had a command. And when the nephew came into the prison, he knew. Then I knew this was a word from the Lord. And he attended to the matter and did as the Lord bid him. Then, dear friends, he went to prayer. The whole thing put him on his knees. And he told the Lord all the case. The Chaldeans were at the gate. The very land he had bought, he could not find no profit from at the moment. And then he appealed, thou art the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for thee. The God of my flesh, the God of the Chaldeans, the God of my people, the Jews, the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for thee. Oh, friends, what a mercy when we get a view like that. If thou hard cases, that thou not too hard for him. Poor Zacharias in Luke chapter 1 thought it was too hard for the Lord even that Elizabeth should have a child. And friend, he was struck dumb, wasn't he, for all those long months? Yes, and nonetheless, the Lord opened his mouth for him in the end, didn't he? But leave that to one side. It was because he could not believe. You know, even though the angel Gabriel had come from the very court of heaven to tell him these glad tidings. when Mary received her tidings that even more stupendous concerning the coming Saviour, oh, the dear woman believed it could be so. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. And the handmaid had no will of their own. Her only will was her mistress's. Now, says Mary, I'm the handmaid. I lay my will on the altar of the will of my God. Be it unto me as according to thy word. And how Elizabeth commended her later on, or commended her faith that God had given her. Blessed is she that believed, for shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Yes, she had a hard case, didn't she? Remember, with that hard case, there was something else. It appeared to Joseph she had been unfaithful to him. This made the matter dimensions that were very dark and very lowering. Oh, and all Mary could do was commit it to the Lord, brought this hard case to him, and he heard, didn't he? He revealed to Joseph the full meaning, and the dear man himself received the counsel from the Lord and obeyed it. Causes too hard to be borne, too hard to bear, too hard for us to put right, but not too hard for the Lord. Well, what are some of these hard cases? Well, you sung of them in your second hymn. One of them is our fallen nature. This was the way I long had sought, but mourned because I found it not. My grief and sorrow long has been, because I could not cease from sin. The more I strove again, since power I sinned and stumbled, but the more. Was there one here tonight listening? And that is your trouble. You cannot overcome your fallen nature. It trips you up every day in thought, in word, perhaps in deed, puts you in the ditch. And you've striven so hard, you've resolved, you've tried, but all to no avail. It's a cause too hard for you. Yes, with others it might be severe temptation. Oh, it's one thing to talk about temptation, friends, but when the enemy comes in like a flood, unless the Spirit lifts up a standard against him, we're helpless. Peter found that. David found that. Jacob found that. Or many of God's people have found it. Job was another. Oh, this is a difficult path for God's people when in Satan's sieve they prove their impotence, their ineptness, their insufficiency, their inefficiency. Again, our hard case is our duty under the law. We're under the covenant of works. We are commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and our neighbour as ourselves. And friend, however hard we try, because we are fallen creatures, we are continually coming short. It's a duty we cannot fulfil. And as for payment, well, that is something altogether beyond us. Could our tears forever flow? Could our zeal no respite? No. All for sin could not atone. Oh, that's a hard thing, isn't it? That maybe where you are tonight, the law is telling you what it demands of you, and you daren't deny that it is just in it. But can you meet its demands? Can you pay the price? No. It's a cause too hard for you. And then, of course, what about the thorn in the flesh? Or how poor Paul felt it was too hard for him to live with. You might have thought that a man of such grace as Paul could live with anything. That stalwart in the faith. He'd been shipwrecked at least twice, he says. He'd been beaten with rods. He'd been imprisoned. He'd been scourged. Surely this man, nothing was too hard for him. And yet when he had that thorn in the flesh, he couldn't live with it, not in his own strength. He told the Lord that the Lord must remove it because he couldn't live with it. He couldn't be an apostle with it. He couldn't go on with it. But you see, he had to learn that there was a way where he did go on with it. We come back to that perhaps in a moment. Then, dear friends, your crook in the lot, your heavy cross that you're staggering under is too hard for you, isn't it? How the Lord said to Elijah through that angel, the journey is too great for thee. Elijah, you cannot do it in your own strength. You can't do it with your own impetus, your own resolution. It's too hard for you. It's too great for you. Yes. And perhaps you feel your journey is too great for you tonight in the burden you're carrying. maybe in the church, maybe in the family, maybe in the business. Lord, it's altogether too great for me. Ah, but not too great for your God. And then our providences. Friend, the Lord, you can only read Psalm 107 and you will find time and time and time again God's people were in a place where it was too hard for them. Could they find their way out of the wilderness? No. Could they raise themselves from the bed of affliction? No. Could they break the iron bars and brazen gates of their prison? No. Could they make the storm a calm? No. Friends, time and time again, they proved it was too hard for them. And then, dear friends, what about the day of our death? Solemn, awesome moment. Oh, we daren't meet that in our own strength. We've got no strength in that matter. Oh, when our soul must launch into worlds unknown, stand before the judgment seat and receive our eternal sentence. Oh, friends, we can't prepare ourselves in and of ourselves for that great moment. It must be a work performed by our God. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, thy spirit. Must the work perform, for it is all of grace. There may be other things that are too hard for you tonight. Perhaps there's something in your family or in your business that's just too hard for you. Perhaps you younger ones have got examinations coming up and you feel they're altogether too hard for you. And some of you have had disappointments and discouragements and, it seems hard to live with it. Well, friends, the cause, whatever cause it is, and remember these causes are ordained by God for his people, for their learning. Or says David, when he went out to meet Goliath and his brethren resented it. He said, is there not a cause? I've got this cause on my heart. And yes, only the Lord can help me with it. Yes, the cause is too hard for thee. Bring it unto me. So the next thing is we are to bring it. And again in Holy Scripture, in three ways the Lord shows us the way. First of all, by way of exhortation. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. That hard thing, cast it on the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That hard way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so we could go on. Again and again, there are those wondrous exhortations in Holy Writ. And they wouldn't be there, dear friends, if we had no hard causes. They would be superfluous. But there's no word on the sacred page that is superfluous. And they're there for you in your day of your hard cause. Yes. The cause is too hard to bring it unto me. Secondly, friends, we bring it when we are given that faith so to do. Sometimes, speaking for others, our cause is so hard it seems to swallow up our faith. And we know not what to do. It may be said of us, it was of those on the Galilean lake, how is you have no faith? Where is your faith? I think poor Martha and Mary must have felt very much like that when the Lord delayed to come. Why? Why did he delay? Why didn't he send a word to heal Lazarus? Why we had to attend a funeral? Why are we weeping? Our Saviour has not come. Why? Why? Oh, why? But you see, the Lord said, if thou couldst believe, thou should see the glory of God. Martha, the key to your hard cause is faith. Now, we cannot engineer that faith ourselves. It's the gift of God. And this is the wonderful thing in this matter. If God give you a grain of living faith concerning this hard cause, then you have a blessed confidence he'll deal with it. What you need is the Lord's mind on the matter. And when he gives this mind on the matter, that will quicken in your heart faith concerning it, concerning what God can do for you and will do for you in it. Bring it unto me, friend, it's faith that is needed. God-given faith. Yes, we have to say with these hard causes, Lord, increase our faith. They're like great mountains before us. You read in Isaiah 41, though, concerning Jacob, worm Jacob, thou shalt thrash the mountains and make them small, and the wind shall blow them away as a chaff. You think, even if you stand or I stand at the foot of a mountain, we're dwarfed by it. But a worm? What a tremendous comparison. A worm with a mountain. And the Lord says, Jacob, you'll thrash those mountains and you'll make them small, and they'll be blown away like chaff, so they're not even there. Bring them unto me. Bring them unto me. Remember that poor father who had that afflicted lad? And he'd often fall in the fire and in the water. No one could save him. Bring him unto me, said the Saviour. Bring him unto me. Oh, then may God increase our faith. So the bringing is an exercise of living faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a reward to them that diligently seek him. And thirdly, of course, bringing our case to him is prayer. And we may say this with the authority of Scripture. If God ever gives you a spirit of prayer in a matter, then in his own time, in his own way, almost certainly not in your way, but in his own way, he'll answer it. The Holy Ghost never indicts a prayer that there's not an answer to. No. Remember that. And when he gives prayer in a matter, you can be sure already he's on his way to attend to it. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Oh, poor Philip, when our Lord asked him, who shall we feed these 5,000? Philip forgot who asked the question. And had he remembered to whom he was speaking, he would have said, Lord, I'm bringing it to thee. I put this matter in thy hand. Instead, the poor man tried to do a mathematical sum and soon became overwhelmed by the answer. And then when 5 loaves and 2 fishes were brought, well, there it was very kind, that little lad, they might say, but what are these among so many? The case is far too hard for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Perhaps you've said that. But it's not, you know. All the while it's in your hand, it's too hard, undoubtedly. But when it's in the hand of your Saviour, child of God, even 5 loaves and 2 fishes will become more than enough. They will. He who multiplied the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil for his the widow winners a refact through the same for you. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The cause is too hard for thee. Bring it unto me and I will hear it. Let me come back to that one who's feeling so guilty tonight. The law was condemning, cursing them for their shortcomings and demanding payment. What is to be done? What is to be done? I only heard the other day of a very interesting way in which matters were dealt with during the Roman Empire. And if a Roman was convicted of some crime, he was put in prison, and his crimes were listed outside the cell where he was kept. And that remained there until he'd finished the sentence that was given. And when he'd finished the sentence, then the words finished were written across the accusation. So the law was satisfied, he was set free, and none could put him back in prison. Now, my dear friends, listen, listen. There perhaps may be at your cell such a long, long list of accusations, and yes, they're true. And much more could be said, no doubt, about what could be said about you and about me. But, oh, blessed be God, there's one. Blessed be his holy name. And he's come and taken the place of the prisoner. And he stood in the prisoner's place. And he's answered the claim of the law. He presented his perfect, holy obedience on behalf of that sinner. So the law is satisfied on his behalf. And he's shed his precious blood to pay the price of sin. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had made a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Oh, poor sinner, cannot you see the way this hard case can be resolved? It's at the foot of the cross. It's not at Sinai that is cursing you, but is at Calvary, where there's a blessing even for such as you. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need, he's welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And the dear Saviour, see, my dear friends, when he cried, "It is finished," that was written across all the guilt of his church. All the guilt of his church, the words, "It is finished," written across it. And payment God cannot twice demand, once at my bleeding short his hand, and then again at mine. Oh, the wonders of the gospel. He was taken from judgment and from prison. Yes, Isaiah 53. For transgressors, my people, was he stricken. Oh, Jesus, in the sinner's place. Yes, this is how that hard cause, it will be dealt with. What about that poor devil-dragged sinner? Listen what the Lord has said concerning his case. "I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. I have prayed for thee." And the Lord did that before Peter came into the sieve of Satan. He foreknew Peter's trial there. He foreknew Job's trial. He foreknew your trial. And he's prayed for his dear people in Satan's sieve. And he'll bring them out. Yes, Peter came at a much smaller Peter than he went in. He lost so much. But he didn't lose his God. He didn't lose his Saviour. And nor did he lose that real grain of faith that God preserved, the dear Saviour preserved on his behalf. But it was too hard for him, wasn't it? Yes, he couldn't resist the evil one. He couldn't overcome him. No. And again, what about your fallen nature? Can you overcome it? Oh, he sees us often overcome and pities our distress and bids affliction drive us home to anchor on his grace. Well, the more you feel sin's power, you sung of it. Yes. "The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, yet the more till late I heard my Saviour say, 'Come hither, soul, I am the way.'" He says it to that poor sinner tonight who's groaning under their fallen nature, grieving at its corruption and darkness and prevalence. He's saying it to that poor sinner. And the hymn writer said, "Lo, glad I come. And thou, blessed Lamb, shall take me to thee as I am. Nothing but sin I thee can give. Nothing but love from thee I get." Sinner, you can give him nothing but sin, you know. Nothing but sin. You're waiting for a good thought, waiting for a good prayer, waiting for a good desire. If you can present that as in bargain in heaven's marketplace, no. The only currency you've got is your sin, your need, your guilt, your fallen state. That's your currency. "As I am, nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love from thee I get. Oh, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Yes, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. And if ye love me, keep my commandments. You sung it, "Lo, glad I come." And then he said, "Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to thy redeeming blood and I'll say, behold the way to God." And then what about your providences tonight? Are you like poor Paul with that thorn in the flesh, that crook in the law, that heavy cross, that disappointment, that discouragement? And oh, sometimes you feel you can bear it, but more often you can't. And left to yourself, well, you know, you get into a wrong spirit over it. You have to admit it. And that's part of your grief. What are you to do? Bring it to me. And be honest with the Lord. Tell him. Tell him everything about it. Tell him how you feel, how you're racked by it, how it depresses you, humiliates you, and sometimes brings you almost to the end of everything. Tell him it all. He loves to hear his people pour out their heart. Trust in him, ye tempted saints. Tell him all your sad complaints. Here present help will be. Give you strength and victory. Tell him. Bring it to me, he says. Tell me about it. And all these providences, think of the Apostle Paul. He thought he could not live with the thorn in the flesh. And he laid down a line for the Lord to deal with his case. And his line was, Lord, take away the thorn. Well, in one sense, the Lord did, but not in the way Paul thought. The Lord took away the curse of the thorn by giving him grace to live with it. And he said unto me, that poor, wounded, bruised, buffeted man, that's what he was, he said he was, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then he found it was no longer too hard, because every time he felt weakness, he went to Christ for strength. Every time he felt empty, he went to Christ to be filled. Every time this thorn humiliated him, he hastened to the foot of the cross for mercy. Oh, he found it was the Lord knew how to manage his hard cause. And what about death itself? Child of God, believer, even the weakest believer listening tonight, even the most devil-dragged believer, with the smallest grain of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone before you even in that matter. He's conquered death by dying. He's laid in the tomb that he might sanctify the grave for every one of his dear people and bring them safely to glory. Oh, what a mercy then even that cause has been dealt with. Yes, the cause too hard for thee. Bring it unto me. I will hear it. And then you see, we have then this final part of our text. I will hear it. Not I might hear it, if I'm not too occupied with other case, I say that most reverently. Not I will hear it, if it's not too hard for me. Friend, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. And he says, I will hear it. I will give you a hearing. I'll give you a hearing. And friend, that's a wonderful thing, the Lord gives you a hearing. When he draws you, as it were, to the mercy seat, looks upon you through its blood-sprinkled door, covering, precious Christ, and then hears your case. He says, now, tell me it all. Tell me how it started. Tell him what it's brought you to. Tell him your fears. Tell him your doubts. Tell him your impossibility. He says, I'll hear it. And when he said he'll hear it, means three things. Firstly, we begin with this. He loves to hear his people come like this. The Lord delights to hear them cry and knock at mercy's door. He loves the beggar's knock. He loves the prayer of the destitute. He said he regards it and will not despise it. So whatever the devil may say about you when you come with your hard cause, one thing is certain. It brings delight to your heavenly Father and the dear Son of God and the Spirit who is secretly drawing you. The Lord loves this sinner who comes with his hard cause. Secondly, dear friend, he hears it. And by that I mean he knows all about it, far more about it than you do. He knows why he permitted it. He knows why it's gone on so long. He knows what he will yet do with it. He knows what the end of it will be. Oh, those words he spoke to Philip concerning the feeding of the 5,000, he himself knew what he would do. Not what he might do, he would do. Determined to do, was in the process of doing. He himself knew what he would do. What will he do? I'll bring the blind by a way they knew not. I'll lead them in paths they've not known. I'll make darkness light before them, crooked things straight, rough places plain. These things will I do unto them, that sanctification, unto them, and not forsake them. Oh, blessed be God, when you get a hearing. And friends, you get a hearing in this respect. He will hear you and you will hear him. Oh, that's a great point. It's what you've been waiting for, isn't it? So long you've been like Jeremiah. You cried out and shouted and all your prayer is shut out. You've waited and waited and waited and yet there seems no answer. You daren't give up. You daren't cease knocking. You daren't go. There's nowhere else to go. Even Peter said that. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And though even like Job, you have to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Lord, I must come. I can't do any else thing but come. Could have nowhere else to take this hard case, this hard cause, this impossibility. Ah, bring it, and I will hear it. And friends, you'll know he's heard it when he either sends a smiling face into your little heart, or when some word of encouragement and some word of direction, you'll know your case has been heard. You may direct one of his servants right into it, or you may come to the word of God, and there something will light upon the sacred page you've never seen before, and it'll stand out like letters of gold, and you'll know you've been heard. Yes, I can remember many, many years ago, deep exercise over a certain matter, and coming down, I just couldn't sleep. And I opened the Bible, I begged the Lord to speak, and there in letters of gold stood the answer to my exercise. It was there, as clear as clear. Not often we get times like that, do we? But the Lord had heard. I will hear it. Yes. And it means the Lord will resolve it. The Lord will put it right. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works thine own hand. Now, three things in conclusion. First of all, dear friends, remember this. When you lay your cause at his dear feet, you must leave it there. Don't meddle. Don't meddle. Sit still, my daughter, till the other matter will fall out. For the man will not be in rest till he finish the thing this day. Ruth had to sit still. She'd been obedient. She'd done as was commanded her. Love to Naomi, yeah, I mean, love to the Lord and Boaz had bid her do and helped to do what she had done. She'd done what she could, but she now had to be still and rest and see what the Lord would do for her. So the first thing, dear friends, is when you bring your case, seek grace to leave it there. Or often we drag it away with us and we're back to square one, as old Mr. Short used to say. Friends, may the Lord help us to leave a case. And not fatalistically. No, it's too great a burden to you for just to walk away as if it's not there. No, it's part of your path. But to feel the burden's lifted, to feel the cause has been taken in hand by one who can manage it when you can't, that's a wonderful relief for a child of God. He will bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. Oh, may God deliver us from fretting. Secondly, dear friends, when he handles it, remember to do it in his way. We're so often prone to lay down a line for God to work in, but God rarely, if ever, works in our lines. He may have a way of deliverance that you could haven't even dreamt of tonight. He's promised that he'll make a way of escape so the people, his dear people, not be tempted above their able. He's promised that. There will be a door open in the end out of this trial in a way you perhaps have never thought. And the third thing is when he does it, friends, when he hears your case, don't forget to thank him. We're so negligent in that. Yes. Oh, come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will tell you what he hath done for my soul. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day, morning and evening, and Mr. Stephen Rosier on Tuesday evening next week at 7 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 339. O my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine? Then Jesus is forever mine. Hymn 339.
now, most gracious God, do cover with a mantle of thy forgiving love all that thy pure, holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship this evening hour. And oh, do help us to bring our hard causes, Lord, to thy dear feet, and to watch and to wait, and to see what thou wilt do with them. And oh, Lord, for that grace to believe that the cause that is too hard for us, thou wilt hear it. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the Holy Spirit's favour, rest and abide with us each, both now and evermore. Amen.